At this time, we get to hear from the great behind me, Tethia Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom. Please be seated. What a great Sabbath day. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor gave a sermon, and in his sermon, he made a statement that I wanted to see if everybody had been able to come to perfection in these things that he asked. And I'm going to quote his statement, but he said, "You need to find joy and you need to find love in your dealings with and interactions and in the work that you're given to do." He stated it in these words. He said, "If you are not capable of working together now with a bowl of soup and a spoon and a fork, how will you prove to Yahweh that you will be capable of getting along when you are given great power?" He said, "The world has great power to cause much destruction and even destroy the earth, but they are going to do it. They are going to destroy the earth because they cannot get along. And they proved it in the kitchen or in the field or picking vegetables or in the milk barn. In the daily work that they did, they proved that they were not able to get along." This was 2 weeks ago when Pastor gave this. And now let me ask the question. Now, don't raise your hands, but just ask this question of yourself. How many of us failed this test? How many of us within these last 2 weeks was able to find the joy and the love that Pastor was speaking of? How many of us were able to bring joy and love to our neighbors? And if you did fail, what caused you to fail? What was the thing that caused you to fail? Now, I know before you say, "Well, he did this to me," or "she did that to me," let's start by saying, what did you do? I know this is always a sore spot with people when you try to get to a resolution on a problem, because they'll say, "Well, he did this, and so I did this. And I know I was wrong, I got angry, but I did this." And as a counselor, a lot of times we say, "Okay, let's eliminate the other person from this argument. How did you handle it? What did you do? And after you got upset with your fellow worker, did you quickly go back to them and apologize and beg them and to forgive you for the offense that you did? Did you say, "I know I was wrong"? This is one that I've heard a lot. "I know I was wrong when I got upset, and I'll go to confession." But my question is, did you make it right with the person that you had the problem with? Did you expect to just go to Yahweh and just tell the priest and that was going to solve the problem without resolving the problem with the person that you had the run-in with? Did you go back to the brother or sister and repent before you brought your gift to Yahweh? Did you make it right? Did you reconcile yourself back with your brother or your sister? I was trying to think about how to title this sermon, and I had so many different areas that I wanted to go in this sermon that it was difficult to actually tie it down to one thing. But I think if I could tie it down to in words, it would be to make your investment in something that is lasting, not something that is failing. We make an investment in the house of Yahweh, and Yahweh encourages us to make an investment in the house of Yahweh. Now, those brothers and sisters that you work with, they were chosen by Yahweh. They were picked out before you were ever born, before they were ever born, to come here and do a work, to join with the Last Day's Witness, to be the seed of the Last Day's Witness, and to carry the burden. And the scripture says the world is not even worthy of them. Yahweh gives them respect. How much more so should we? They are our brothers and sisters, and they have the right and the opportunity to be a part of that administration that Yahweh is offering forever. If they have the right to have this inheritance and be a part of this administration, and we can't get along with them, where are we going to be? Now, I just wanted to bring those questions to your mind, so when you go through the week, Pastor said, we must first learn to prove we can work together. If you have to, write that on a piece of paper, put it on a 3x5 card, place it on your mirror in the morning. When you get up in the morning, you're combing your hair, you're brushing your teeth, look at that and say, we have to prove that we can work together. The world has proven they can't work together. They have designed a system that is going to fail. There is no other way around this. Our investment is to bring forth an administration to join with the one that Yahweh chose to bring forth this administration that will bring peace, will bring joy, and will bring love to all the universe. If we can't bring it on the individual cases, Yahweh's never going to give us that ability to spread it out to the universe. We've already seen the effects of that. Please be turning over to Matithiah 13. Matithiah 13. We're going to go through these rather rapidly, but verse 44, and before I get to 44, I want you to notice Yahshua's given his disciples, he's explaining to them in parables what the kingdom of Yahweh is about. And he shows them, he said in verse 31, he presented another parable to them saying, the kingdom of Yahweh is like a grain of a mustard seed, which when a man took and planted in his field, though it indeed was the least of all seeds, when it is grown, it becomes the greatest among the herbs. So the mustard seed is extremely tiny, but it grows into this huge tree. And this is what he was showing that the kingdom of Yahweh was going to do. It starts off very small with a few people here and there doing a work, but it grows. It gradually is going to grow, and it's going to encompass the universe. This last week, I was watching a news program, and they were showing some telescopes that they had. And on the telescope, there was a big fancy telescopes that can see real deep into the universe. And one of the men, the newscaster, was asking the man who worked on the telescopes, because the whole screen was full of, you know, what looked like stars, all these stars. I mean, thousands, millions of stars everywhere you could see were stars. And he said, how many stars there? He said, there's a lot of stars here. He says, well, actually, this one right here is the only actual star up there. He said, well, it's the only actual star. All the rest of them are galaxies. He says, those are all like the Milky Way. Each individual dot you see there that is actually is its own galaxy. If you think about how amazing that is, and he said, well, how much of the sky are we looking at? He says, oh, just a very small portion of the sky. He says, a very small portion. I wanted to bring you a picture of that. And you just would not believe how many lights there were. And he said each of those lights was a galaxy. That's what Yahweh's offering to us. I saw on the news they had one of the former presidents. And he made the comment. He said, you know, when he was president, he said, I was a powerful leader. He said, I was powerful and popular. And he said, but I don't want that anymore. And I thought about what it would be like to do a job interview for the kingdom of Yahweh. You know, and when you've been the president, you're about as high as you can go in this system. I mean, that's about the highest you can get, is become the president of the United States, because the United States is the chief nation of all nations. But what about, how would you explain, I've been on the administration of the kingdom of Yahweh. That's my job application. I am training for a kingdom that has universes out there. That's what Yahweh has offered to you. And he's offered it to those who are in here who you uphold. He says here in verse 44, he says, again, the kingdom of Yahweh is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man has found it, he hides it again. And then in his joy, you notice he has to have joy. You know, that's one point. I was talking to one of the great Kahans as we came up here. And I was remembering the scripture, and I thought about Pastor when he was arrested. And I remember the smile on his face. And I'm thinking, man, that would be hard to smile. And he got up here and he was rejoicing. He had the joy because he knew what he had no one could take away. He said, I have found the peace of Yahweh, and no one can take that away from me. This joy, praise Yahweh, yes, praise Yahweh. When a man found it, he hides it again, and then he goes and sells all that he has. And what's he do? He makes an investment. He buys that field. He makes an investment in that thing, that valuable treasure that he found. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of Yahweh is like a merchant looking for a fine pearl, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and he bought it. Notice the merchant, he knows the value because he's in the business to find these pearls. And he finds this one pearl of the kingdom of Yahweh, and he gets rid of everything else he has. He sells everything and makes every investment into that one thing, because that's how valuable it was to him. The peaceful solution teaches that the values are what we believe in or feel strongly about, and they play a key role in the development of our character. The sum total of everything you value becomes your value system. So basically, it's what you care about and consider as important. What you care about and consider as important. Yahweh has been trying, and Pastor has been trying, to get us to value the laws of Yahweh. Over the past 40 years, Pastor has been teaching us the value that we need to have in using these laws in our lives. Yahweh's laws work as a unity. Now, here's the confusion that a lot of people get into. You can't pick and choose which laws you want to keep. You can't say, okay, I'm not going to murder, but I'll steal. You can't seek the place Yahweh chooses to place his name and not follow the one sent. They work together. The law and the prophecies work together. And without them working together, if you're not using both of them together, then you have a mixture of righteousness and evil. And it's not of Yahweh. But the kingdom of Yahweh is based upon these laws. It's governed by these laws. Yahweh encourages us to make an investment into this kingdom. Matthias 6, 19. Matthias 6, verse 19. It states, "Do not store up treasures for yourself upon earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up treasures yourself, treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You see, you have to put it on. You have to put the laws of Yahweh into your heart and into your mind. And you have to value the laws of Yahweh. You have to value the house of Yahweh. If you put Yahweh on the back shelf and you only pray to Yahweh on the Sabbath, you're not going to have value of Yahweh or Yahweh's way. But it is a daily and constant decision that you make through your life. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Notice in verse 24. I always like this scripture because this really just sums it all up in a very quick couple sentences. It says, "No one can serve two rulers, or you cannot be slave to two owners. For either you will hate the one and you will love the other, or you will be loyal to one and you will despise the other. You cannot serve both Yahweh and riches." You can't. It's impossible. That word loyal, the word loyal in the Webster's Dictionary, it means unswerving in allegiance to one's lawful sovereign government, to be faithful to a cause, ideal, custom, or institution. Unswerving in one's lawful sovereign government. The government that we serve is the kingdom of Yahweh, which has the laws of Yahweh as its ruling code that we follow. Now, the world offers something else. They offer the Babylonian system, this system that Israel Hawkins opposes, this system that is based upon the schools of higher learning, the institutions of higher learning, where you can become a god, you can become have your own empire. This is what is taught. You're taught allegiance from the time you're a child. You're put into a school. You're told to swear your allegiance to a country. You're told that you have to stand up for the ideals of that country. Even though you may not fully agree with some of those ideals, and this causes a lot of confusion with people, because people have different values. So you have a person who values morality, and the system does not teach morality, it causes quite a problem because they can't uphold morality in a system that doesn't teach it. But our investment and what we long for is in Yahweh's kingdom and in Yahweh's house. Let me turn over to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. This is just to give you a view into the eyes of those who came before us, those holy men and women who came before us, who carried the work and the value that they had in Yahweh's kingdom and what they searched for, what they gave their lives for. They gave everything. And it'll show here that they gave up everything. They gave up their, as it were, self-respect. They gave up their, they were persecuted, they were ridiculed, they were mocked, they were tortured, they were stolen from, they were abused and oppressed in every way, shape, and form, but they had one goal, and they didn't forget that goal, and they held fast for that kingdom, that city that was not built with hands. Hebrews 11, verse 8. Starting in verse 8. Now, all this before this, just to give you a quick rundown, but this is this shows that all these who came before, such as Abel, Enoch, Noah, all these endured, and even though they didn't receive the promise at that time, they longed for a future kingdom. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he would afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. When I read that, I thought about, at one time, there was a law that was brought out in the house of Yahweh. A question was brought up. And Pastor, you know, at the time, was researching the law to find out why Yahweh said not to do it. But at the moment, he didn't have all the answers. And he told us, he said, we need to keep this law. Because Yahweh says, keep it. I can't tell you why yet, but I'm looking. I'll get the answers. He said, but we need to do it because Yahweh says to do it. And he obeyed based upon the fact that Yahweh said it. He believed it that much that he was going to accept it. Most people are like, well, I'm not doing it until I understand it. I'm not going to do that. You know, when Pastor brought out about not drinking in the house of Yahweh, and he said, I want everybody to stop drinking. You know, and I heard a lot of people say, well, where is that in Scripture? I don't see that in Scripture where it says you can't drink. You know, and this is, it was obedience first. That's what he says, obedience, and then I'll bring you understanding. But first you have to show that you are humble and of a contrite mind. You have to prove that you will accept it, and then Yahweh will teach you. You know, if you stand your ground, you say, well, I'm not going to do it till I see the proof. You're never going to see the proof. You are never, ever going to understand it. You have to do it with a contrite, humble heart. You have to bring yourself and humble yourself to this Oki so that that Oki can teach you. Praise Yahweh. Okay, verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called out, okay, even though he didn't know where he was going, by the faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is Yahweh. Through the faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Look on down to verse 13. It says, all these died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were convinced of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been thinking of the country in which they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return, but now they long for a better kingdom that is a heavenly. Therefore, Yahweh is not ashamed to be called their father, for he has prepared a city for them. He's not ashamed to be called their father because they carry themselves in a moral fashion like Yahweh. You know what? How difficult it is to have a child who doesn't do what you tell him, who is a rioter, who's a troublemaker. You know, and you can see it in the parents. They're like, oh, there goes my son again. You know, you hear it in this generation. You see people actually, they actually are so distraught with their children who have grown up now and have all kinds of problems, and they disown them. That's not my son. I never taught my son that kind of thing. The kingdom of Yahweh, the word son means builder of the family name. And a son builds the family. He works with the father in unity with the father. He doesn't oppose the Father in any way. Yahshua Messiah never opposed Yahweh. He never did. I know they've told you that he has. I know they've said it in the churches that Yahweh said one thing and Yahshua came along and said, well, the old man don't know what he's talking about. Just do it this way because I'm the new man. Yahshua never did that. Yisrael Hawkins will never oppose Yahshua Messiah. He will never oppose Yahweh. He will support and stand with the kingdom of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. You receive your inheritance based upon Yisrael Hawkins' inheritance. I know that's going to catch some people by surprise because I know some people think they can go directly to Yahshua Messiah and they can get into the kingdom, but you can't. There is no way you're going to get into the kingdom. There is no way you're going to receive an inheritance without Yisrael Hawkins. It's praise Yahweh. It's not up for debate. Yahweh planned this before you were ever born. Now let me make this perfectly clear, because I know this causes a lot of difficulties. Because people think, well, that you know, if something occurred to Yisrael Hawkins, you know, we'll come in. They're going to come in and they're going to take over the house of Yahweh. They're going to have a connection with Yahshua. Yahshua told who he would deal with, and that's all he's going to deal with. He said, yes, praise Yahweh. He said, I have given you an open door. He said, you I have chosen. Yahweh called him in Isaiah 44, verse 1, and Isaiah 45, verse 4. He said, Israel, my chosen. You are the seed of Yisrael Hawkins. And as the seed of Yisrael Hawkins, if you do the things that Yisrael Hawkins teaches, and you join with him, and you overcome these little things like not having love for your neighbor, not having peace within your family, letting your emotions get the best of you, lose your self-control, get angry and lash out at your worker. If you overcome these things, you are offered a portion of the inheritance that Yisrael Hawkins is offered. Yahweh chose Yisrael Hawkins, and you have the rights under him, but you are not going to ever be independent of him. You will never be independent of him. Now, I know some people have said that Yahweh, you know, I know we've been taught, you know, we've been taught you have a right to choose your leaders. Not so. Not so. Not in the kingdom of Yahweh. Remember, the laws of Yahweh govern the kingdom of Yahweh. There is no scripture, listen closely now, there is no scripture that gives you the right to choose your leader. It just isn't in there. Yahweh said, I will choose the leader, and him you must follow. He didn't ask your opinion. He didn't ask if you liked him. He didn't ask any of that. He says, this is the way it is. Accept it, you'll have a portion with him. Reject it, you have nothing. Your portion is the gods. You know what the gods offer? They don't offer very much. They offer a life of worthlessness. They offer you a life of grasping at the wind. Always thinking you're going to get that pearl at the end. Always thinking you're going to gain something, and you never get it. You never can quite get your hands on it. And then you think you finally get your hands on it, and someone steals it from you. It's a never-ending lifestyle of chasing rainbows, fantasy land that never goes anywhere. There is no satisfaction in the ways of the gods. Yahweh is our portion. Yahweh gives us our satisfaction. He teaches us to appreciate what we receive. Yahshua gave us a warning, and if you could just write these scriptures down because I'm running out of time, but Yahshua gave us a warning in Matthew 12, 24. And he said, he says, the kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Now remember before he said you can't serve two rulers. You'll either hate the one or you'll be loyal to one and you'll hate the other. He said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. He said, if you're not gathering with me, then you're scattering abroad. There's no other way to do that. There's no easy way to put that. This administration is in unity with Yahweh's laws under the prophecies of that Yahweh laid down of Israel Hawkins being the last day's witness. Let me put that simpler. There will never be another one coming from Yahweh. There will never be. Praise Yahweh. This is your last opportunity. I remember as a child, I used to hear the scriptures being read. And I used to hear about Samuel and David and all these righteous men. And I used to think, man, wouldn't it be cool to have met one of them? Wouldn't it be awesome to have known one of these mighty men who did these great works for Yahweh? And I came to the house of Yahweh and I learned the laws of Yahweh. And one day it was like, boom, you actually met one. You've actually sat at a table with him and had dinner with him. You have actually met one of those holy men that you read about. Take hold of the value of what is presented to you. Yahshua said, blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear, because it's not given to the others. It's offered to you. Seek this kingdom. Disregard anything that gets in your way. Only have your goal focused on that purpose. You would like to see, it's not about money. It's not about even, you know, I know as a Christian we learned it was about gold and, you know, all kinds of, you know, streets of gold and all things like that. And, you know, you're always looking for this diamond or something. But there's no satisfaction in that. The satisfaction comes from keeping Yahweh's laws, walking in Yahweh's way. Real quickly, turn over to Matthew 10, verse 37. And I'm going to have to close up here, but I want to keep this in your memory when you leave here. Take hold of what Yahweh is offering to you. Take hold of it, and it's more valuable than anything that's offered to you. He said, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his yoke and follows after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life in this lifetime, he who protects his life, a son does not run when the trouble comes down to his family. He stands with the strong man. He supports the strong man. He doesn't run when trouble comes down. He doesn't protect his life. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and in receiving me receives him who sent me. Yahshua Messiah has one representative in these last days. And he says, if you receive him, the representative, then you're receiving Yahweh. He who receives a prophet because of the authority of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man because of the character of the righteous man will receive the righteous man's reward. We are the seed of Israel HaKahan. Praise Yahweh. And as the song said, the witness for our Father, great Yahweh, he receives that authority. He receives everything that comes with that. And if you join with him and you carry that load, you also will receive that inheritance. It's well worth it. It's well worth it. Don't let anything stand in your way, because the creation is truly waiting for the revealing of the sons of Yahweh. And those who will join, because the earth is hurting at this time. It's hurting and it's begging and it's longing and it's crying and mourning, because it's suffering. Every single day there is suffering going on. And the only thing that is going to turn it around is if this Babylonian system is eliminated and the kingdom of Yahweh is brought into being. And there's only one who has the right to do that. There's only one who carries the kingdom of Yahweh and has the open door for you, and that's Israel Hawkins. So at this time, if you'll all please stand, may Yahweh bless your understanding. We'll turn it over to the great Kahan Zephaniah Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh!
Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We're going to cover this morning on the news, basically the entire news yesterday on CBS News. I don't think they had any of the stories, was about the shooting in Aurora, Colorado, which demonstrates the insanity or the confusion of the mind that the scripture talks about. But keep a couple things in mind when you see this. Is as bad as it was for those who were being shot, imagine being the one who did the shooting. Because this man, who was a young man, 24 years old, supposedly really smart, and he was going to become a neuroscientist, I doubt when he was growing up, he said to himself, you know, when I grow up, I want to be a mass murderer and spend the rest of my life in prison and possibly go to the electric chair. But, you know, so at some point, something occurred to his mind, and it snapped, and he became like this. And what caused that was sin of some sort. What the sin was, either his or someone else's. But one of the things that I read that's not covered in this story was he was a marijuana smoker. And remember, marijuana, which is the same as hashish, is where the word assassin comes from. And if you see this in these mass murderers, then they're not covering this a lot in the news, but a lot of them smoke pot. And a lot of people that come against the house of Yahweh are pot smokers. And the other thing you're going to notice is there's a couple that's being interviewed during this story. And it's ironic, and this shows the confusion of the mind and the people. He says, you know, we were in there and this woman was being shot and blood everywhere and bullets, and I never ever want to see that ever again. And he went into this movie to see that very thing. And, you know, you got to wonder, well, why would you want to go in and see what's wrong with a human mind that would actually desire to see this type of thing for entertainment? But then when they actually see it, they dislike it. And he'll probably go to see the movie anyway. And then, let me see, there was a couple other points, but let's play the movie. It's basically the whole news, but kind of shortened down. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins!
Come on now, come on. You might be seated. It don't get too hot for the house of Yahweh, right? May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I brought my lunch today. They said I could have all afternoon, so hope you brought yours. They're supposed to have us some fried grasshoppers here today, but they didn't show up with them, so maybe next week. The reason I wanted that shown, I hate to show something like that, but I said we've got to get this to the people. Everyone's got to see this. That Jessica Redfield, I don't know if you caught it or not, but she was almost killed before she moved to this other place, and she moved there to find a place of safety where it's a little more civilized, and there is where she met her death. I remembered that scripture where it said, you know, in Isaiah, he says, if you run to escape, you know, you'll fall in the pit. And he who fears the pit will fall into something else. There's just no escape. There's no place to go that is safe. This lunch that I brought, I mentioned here a while back, my mother's, the way she made bread, she didn't go and buy yeast at the store. It's called sourdough bread. Let me see, maybe I can put it under that. Look how beautiful that is. Isn't that beautiful? Well, I mentioned it, and of course, the cooks jumped on it, and they're going to be letting you sample this pretty soon. Here's the take home. I can't get that to run back, but anyway. I'll hold it up for you this way so you can see it. Sourdough, you can start it winter or summer. It works great. It creates your own, it creates its own yeast and makes your bread rise in just a few minutes and tastes wonderful. I've got my mouth watering here now. Here, you men take that and enjoy it. Don't chomp too loud now. Got a show going on up here. What I'm wanting everyone to see, what we've got to understand, is out of this mess that you see in the world, and you see it everywhere right now, but thousands of years ago, this was going on in the days of Noah. Men were violent, and every thought and intent of their heart was wickedness, and it wasn't like that they were created that way or born that way, but they got caught up in the wickedness as the world has done today. Now, we could solve their problems. We could solve all the world's problems today, but they won't accept it. In fact, the things I'm going to show today, the world ridicules, and they will laugh at. And of course, they have done this before. When we put out the articles on the real cause of global warming, then there was certain ridicules come forth from that. Other scientists, of course, took that ball and ran with it, and they're actually proving that what we said in that book was true. But the world right now is in pain, and there's pain in every walk of life now. It's in our bodies, it's in the earth, it's in the air that we're breathing and the water we drink. I just read an article a few minutes ago about a 7-year-old boy that went to visit, he was lived in Texas, went to visit a lake in California, a rather popular lake. He got a rash while he was there. They don't know what it was at all, but he is dead in just a few days. 7 years old, and a seemingly healthy boy, and a seemingly very unhealthy lake, but he didn't even get in the water either, they said. But he died in just a few days. But that's the mess that we're living in today. And out of this whole mess, Yahweh is producing a work that will actually bring forth the knowledge that man rejected in the first place that got him into this mess right now of people violence in every walk of life, sickness and disease everywhere you look. And it's in the whole world. But yet Yahweh is drawing out a people, bringing up a people. That's the two words, the two phrases that the prophets use, bringing up a people, drawing out a people that will actually solve these problems. And while they're working together, they're doing the work, reaching the world, and while they're actually working together, they're actually coming out of the world themselves. So, and that's you. And we know that we haven't overcome sin yet completely. We know we haven't become perfect yet. But we're doing this work of Yahweh, and we're fighting to become perfect out of a world that's trying to kill itself. Everyone in the world hates everyone else. His hand is turned against his brother, as the prophet said. How would a prophet thousands of years ago know that in this time period everyone would be hating everyone else? And that's what you see in the world. How would they know that? How would they know that the world is going to be filled with wars and fighting, and then famine and disease? That is caused, and they're finally admitting now that it is caused by man. That's the wonderful part of it. What I want to show is, of course, is the great wisdom that the world rejected, the great wisdom of Yahweh that was actually given in the beginning, taught to Adam, and of course taught to the prophets. And if you think about these prophets, I know people scoff at the Bible, but if you think about these prophets, they They were somewhere around 40 to 50 of them. Some of them, we don't know their names, but we have their writings. They spoke over a time span of about 1,500 years. These 40 to 50 prophets spoke over a time span of about 1,500 years. They didn't know each other. They had no knowledge of one another's works. That is, most of them had no knowledge of the other prophets' works. And yet they spoke the same things. They brought forth the same plan. They never got off. They never altered, not one from another. Now, to you scoffers, try to figure that one out scientifically. It's a wonderful thing what you're looking at in the book of Yahweh. And it's like the human mind or the firmament. It's just unimaginable. But surely anyone could see this and read the history of it and know that a very wise being, and to me, just thinking about what this being has done in creating the human body alone, or a grain of wheat, it blows my mind. I can see how he's come to this and how he set his determination to stay with this plan and not alter from it. And, of course, that's what he tells us to do. It makes it possible. It also says it's possible. Those same words says it's possible for you to set your mind and to overcome anything or everything that you want to set your work on anything you want it set on, and do it. And, of course, that's what we have done here in the house of Yahweh. We've set our minds, our hands to the plow, and we're not looking back. We're bringing forth this work that's actually reaching the whole world. Praise Yahweh. This little crew, as Yahweh calls us, Yahshua called us a little flock, and we're reaching the whole world at this time in a world that's so screwed up that you can't even go to a movie. I don't think you should want to, but I was also handed an article that said the whooping cough, which you don't want to get, and you don't want your children to get it, but I can tell you for sure it's in Texas, and a great way to get it is to go to Six Flags or a lake or whatever on a vacation and lay around in the sand with all these filthy people. If you go to Walmart or any other store in town and you hear somebody coughing, don't go back there and investigate. Get out of there. Go to another store. Get you some oils and spray on your face and your nose and your hands and try to get rid of what you've already got on you. But for heaven's sakes, don't bring it back here. And that's a great way to bring it here. Well, now they stumble through life. They've got themselves, the whole world has got itself messed up because they have rejected the laws that would have kept them from coming this way. Now, Yahweh said, as a result of this, I'm going to cut you off from my face. It will not be seen upon you anymore. But he prophesied seven works that he would have. Well, the world is going in the way that Yahweh predicted that it would. You know, all 40 of the prophets we know spoke of Babylon and the confounding of the languages, every one of them. I doubt if they even knew what Babylon was, some of them, because they lived too long away from it. It was destroyed, but yet they continued to write about it and the evil that it brought to the earth. Figure that one out without a creator. And that's what you want. That science wants you to do. They want you to figure it out without a creator because they don't believe. The Christians don't believe either. In fact, I don't know of any religions on earth today that do believe. Someone said a lot of the churches now who were keeping Sunday, pretending to keep Sunday holy, Sunday the first day of the week instead of Sabbath, the seventh day commandment, that they had changed this now, and they're starting to keep Wednesday instead of Sunday. And they were asked, well, why are you going to keep Wednesday? And they said, well, everybody wants to get out and run around on Sunday and play around, I guess, at the lake getting diseases. I keep wondering why the weatherman keeps encouraging people to go to the lake. I think I'm going to stay away from there from now on. But they're kind of stumbling around, you know, and the scripture says they're ever searching but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. That is the truth that they rejected. Now, we're beginning to see all this pain in the world, and the world is beginning to see it. And they're saying, we did this. We made this. We caused this now. The global warming, I don't know how hot it'll have to get to be convincing, but we do know that things are going to melt with fervent heat. So we haven't seen the worst of it yet, and we may see it here very soon. The intelligence now is saying we're getting ready for war in August, so maybe it will start. It looks like it could start today pretty easily. Two things I want you to keep in mind as we continue this story on Sandusky. Now, you know, you're going to see some things that you wonder how this can connect with him or this woman called, named Redfield, I believe it is, Jessica Redfield, or Holmes, the man that they're saying that shot 70 people. You know, all of this is tied together. The cause is the same. And I can prove it. I can prove it to you. You're going to have to pay attention, but you're going to have to retain this week after week in order to get this whole bundle that Yahweh wants you to see in your mind. But it did start with the rejecting of the law by Adam and Eve, leading to, deception. And then willful sin by Adam. And of course then after Noah, with one family saved out of the whole mess, one family saved, and then it starts again. They didn't learn their lesson, but this time they will learn their lesson. But keep in mind now that with Sandusky, his attorney said that this is a matter of getting money. And it may be. They could have framed this man. In fact, it could have started with people who wanted a scapegoat and to try to make out like that Sandusky was the only evil man in the whole crew, and they got rid of him. Which, of course, brings back their integrity to the school. They got rid of that bad guy, and all the rest of them are wearing white hats. The cities now and the states are needing money. You can see this on the news daily because of the economy, the fall in the economy, and who can buy our goods anymore, who will buy all of our knickknacks and stupidities that we put on the market. Who will buy these anymore? Well, of course, they have stopped buying. They've lost jobs. This man Holmes, now, he was a well-educated man, educated in all the best schools, they said. He was the top of the tops. But the only way that man could get a job now with the field of training that he had was maybe a job at McDonald's or something like that. Well, the cities are needing money. The Catholic Church has money, a lot of it, and everyone knows this. The states and cities now are no longer loyal. Now, why did they lose this loyalty? The Catholic Church built America. And they built it, of course, for the Catholic Church, for their leadership. But now their subjects are turning against them. Now, there's a reason, and it's a physical reason for the lack of patriotism. And, of course, these physical reasons, the Catholic Church itself created this, and now the genie that's been let out of the bottle is turned against them. And, of course, they're no longer loyal to the Catholic Church or the Vatican at this time. Why? I have an article here, and I know some people are going to laugh, but I'm asking you to bear with me, listen to this through, get the book, get the free magazine. I think we have a free magazine that has the article in it, The Real Cause of Global Warming. I didn't put this article in there, but if I'd have had it at the time, I would have. It was written is interviewing a toxicologist, and of course, these people like homes. They have this is a specialty that they can go into, and there are several fields that they can go into in these studies because it deals with different parts of the body, some of it deals with land, some of it with trees, where they try to find what poison is killing the trees. I don't know if I brought this out, but the fruit trees, about 70% of them died this year all over the United States. And they're telling us in the top colleges, you know, what they think this is, but they don't have any cure for it. And of course, what are the people doing that has the commercial orchards? Well, they're just digging them up and planting more behind them. It's like a dog chasing its tail. I guess you can get a little bit out of it, but the trees keep getting worse. The poisons keep increasing. Well, this study is supposed to find the poisons that man has created, because man has done this. We know that man has done this. They've created these poisons. I'll go into it later in detail, but right now I'll tell you they use poison to fight poison. Well, what is their poison? It's bacteria that they find. Certain bacteria kills other bacteria. So they use this bacteria to try to kill what is bothering the plants. Well, of course, what is really bothering the plants is because they rejected Yahweh's law. They're not guarding the perfect way. The perfect way. He actually made mankind perfect. He did. Mankind was made perfect. But mankind, started doing things to bring imperfection to his mind. And I want you to start thinking of your mind more fully, because your mind actually, it's housed up here in the bone system of your head, but it actually controls your body, makes your send signals to the nerves in your body. I believe that Holmes was a neuroscientist. He took a special field of training. A nerve scientist. Well, your brain sends signals to the nerves. The nerves send signals back to the brain. If you burn your finger, it'll send you a fast signal that it's hurting. Sends your brain that. And of course, because of the pain. Now, if you could imagine the universe right now, as having a central governing body that is hard at work. Imagine first the firmament. The firmament is the brain of the earth. And of course the planets that we see around it, the firmament uses those planets. And it says we need this much sunshine. We need this much rain up on the earth for man, because it was made for man. So like the brain in your head governing your body, and your body sending the signal to the brain saying, your stomach, for instance, that's one you can always deal with. I'm always hungry, right? you can change that with your brain, of course, if you want to, or you can give in to appetite if you want to. But the stomach will send the signal to the brain saying, I'm hungry. You can say back to the stomach, forget it, I'm not going to feed you right now. Go get you a drink of water like you told your child to do. And your stomach will forget it. It'll send a signal later, of course, maybe in a bigger way, and then it'll get aggravated and start crying and yelling and frustration, you know, till the brain starts quitting its work and going back to feeding the stomach. Well, of course, we see the same thing in the firmament that we're dealing with. And if you think of the brain of the body and compare the firmament the same way, you will begin to understand what we have done to our earth, to the atmosphere of the firmament, to the waters that we have housed up to use for supplying the cities. And of course, it's all governed. Every bit of this is governed by the firmament. Now, if we put things in our body that causes our brain, that sends bacteria or microorganisms of any kind that the brain can't use, then the brain then can't function properly to supply the body with all the bodily needs. This is what's taken place in the fruit trees that we have. We're asking the scientists today, supply us with a poison to get rid of this blight, to get rid of this parasite that's in our trees to keep it from killing our trees. We're doing the same thing with our bodies. We're saying to the toxicologist, find us, and that field is growing, by the way. There's big money in it, and they're finding and producing poisons. But with each poison, you've got to have another poison to fight that poison. This is man's way. The way Yahweh intended it was to keep it perfect as he made it perfect. And he says, he gives you foods to eat, foods that you must keep healthy to supply your body with. This toxicologist, the news article says, someone who eats pork, this toxicologist is saying this, someone who eats pork can work physically but cannot reason properly, cannot think clearly. The mind is filled with confusion. His thinking is impaired because his stomach invests a great effort in breaking up such complex molecules, most of which cannot be used by the human body. It was discovered that pork eating weakens the person's ability to think. Now, this is a toxicologist that's written this. It's it was discovered that pork eating weakens the person's body to think. It abolishes his zeal and his loyalty. It actually abolishes loyalty. Well, we just reading in this article and seeing what is taking place here with the people being willing who were, you take Christianity. Christianity is the daughter of the Catholic Church. Now, the scripture shows this. In Revelations, it shows this. The great whore and all of her daughters that follow her. Well, where did we follow her? Well, one thing is eating pork. Following after the priest in the gardens who celebrate memorials to the dead popes, dead rabbis, dead lords, eating swine's flesh. That's Isaiah 65:17 or 66:17. In Isaiah 65 and Isaiah 66. Well, it weakens the body, but it also abolishes loyalty or patriotism. Interviewer, is that really a scientific fact, or are these scientific facts? The toxicologist says it's true. Interviewer, a pork eater has no patriotism? Question. The toxicologist says, this has been scientifically established. It lowers the body's level of serotonin, which generates activity and increases one's pride, one's desire to be righteous and be the best. Now, it weakens all of that in a person, they say. They've proven this scientifically, and even enhances one's happiness or joy. Joy of living day to day. When this hormone is secreted in the body, the person becomes joyous, emotionally uplifted. But pork induces the level reduces the level of serotonin. A pork eater can put his muscles to work, but not his brain. Now this is coming from the science today. I've got an article here, another one, that I want to read you on this, but remember now what they're showing about pork. Now, the FDA, this is more of the science today, the FDA warns of bacteria in shellfish. The world is full of bacteria. We use bacteria to create poisons. We need healthy bacteria in our bodies. The harmful bacteria will actually kill out the healthy bacteria. And some of the penicillin and medications such as penicillin will kill out the healthy bacteria in your body. And then they tell you, you know, if you don't get this back, if you start having diarrhea and you don't get this back in your body quickly, that can kill you. Well, the FDA now is warning of the bacteria in shellfish. Washington, the Food and Drug Administration, is warning people not to eat raw or partially cooked shellfish, because they have been linked to cases of foodborne illness in several states, contaminated with bacteria that cause diarrhea, stomach cramps, nausea, vomiting, and other symptoms. The FDA says that shellfish has been linked to confirmed and possible causes of Vibro illnesses. The bacteria can cause illnesses within a few hours or as late as 5 days after being consumed. Well, of course, they're wrong about only lasting 5 days, as we can see from these other articles and also in the Holy Scriptures, because they don't disappear out of the body. They build a homestead in the body of the person, and later on, they're being passed on to our children who come down with birth defects, who are born with birth defects, which weakens the body, so the body starts dying sooner. It's unable to fight, to battle the poisons. Its defense system is unable to battle the poison successfully. Listen closely to this one. Cooked squid. I would never think of ever putting something like that in my mouth, but cooked squid inseminates now woman's mouth. Yes, true. Just put out June 15th. After experiencing severe pain in her oral cavity, when she bit into her seafood, the woman spit out her meal, but continued to feel lingering, prickling sensation. The sperm of this squid were alive and penetrated the woman's mouth. The sacs, which contained devices, I'll skip the other word, devices forcefully release sperm into the semen that attaches the sperm to a wall. Now, this is the knowledge that, of course, has been pushed aside. Scientific knowledge. This is also what's causing their whooping cough, and they're wanting something, of course, to cure this whooping cough. They're wanting a shot. They're investigating they have investigated the SERMs they had before, and they said they'd found that they're not successful. They were not as successful with those SERMs as they thought they were. Well, in Leviticus now this is their scientific knowledge today. Leviticus, the 11th chapter, Leviticus 11, eating squid or any unclean, what the scriptures show is unclean. Now, this is the scientific knowledge of Yahweh that they pushed aside for creating and selling drugs to you today. But in Leviticus 11 and verse 9, he says, these you may eat of all that are in the waters, whatever has both fins and scales in the waters, whether in the seas or in the rivers, that you may eat. But everything in the sea or in the rivers that does not have both fins and scales, whether among all the fish that school or among all the other living creatures in the water, they are an abomination. This Hebrew word for abomination here means they will cause sickness, as the squid, and you can see how it breeds inside the body. It doesn't disappear. It finds it a place to where it can stay. This one started breeding instantly because the sperm was right in the squid when the squid was eaten. So instantly it took place in the woman's mouth. And they will be an abomination, that is sickness, to you. They will cause you to get sick, the Hebrew word shows. You must not eat their flesh, but you shall regard their carcass as an abomination, as sickness. Regard it as sickness or disease.
Whatever is in the water, not having both fins and scales, is to be abominable. Now this word, abominable, it can be passed on to your offspring, or like whooping cough, get near it and it will latch on to you. You can pass it on to others. So eating unclean shellfish or pork, as we will see, pork is abominable to you. These you shall regard as abominable, that is, causing sickness and disease that can be passed on to other people. Among the birds, they shall not be eaten, for they are an abomination. The eagle, the vulture, the buzzard. Look back up to verse 7 now, because we're dealing with a toxicologist that says scientifically now they can prove that pork, eating pork, ingesting certain of the molecules that are in pork into the body actually goes into the brain. Goes into the brain. And this, a person can work physically, but their brain starts slowing down. What could possibly cause? This is the question that everyone is in awe. What could possibly cause this young man to go into a movie theater and start killing 70, 80, 100 people, whatever he could kill? I'll ask you one better than that. What caused a brother, to kill a righteous brother? What would cause that? What caused this sick mind that Hitler had? Hitler, a Hebrew, his mother was Hebrew, his father was Hebrew. What on earth could cause that man to want to kill Hebrews who kept holy the Sabbath or would not eat pork? What could cause that? And the pig, although it has split hooves, completely divided, yet it does not chew the cud. It is unclean to you. Their meat shall you not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch. They are unclean unto you. You know, we don't think that we're eating pork today. And a lot of people who think they're eating clean food out of the stores, they don't know that that pork is the beef and even clean fish that is specified clean in the scriptures, it's got pork sitting in the same cage with it. You know, it's like having the bacteria in your brain inside your skull. It doesn't stay in one place. It spreads. This Hans Lippershey, he's the one that invented the telescope in 1608. He did a great thing here because they used this telescope that Galileo did for mapping out the heavens. For the classes today. Now, Galileo, I don't know if you're up on him, but through that telescope, he said, hey, we're not the center of the universe. Well, Pope Urban VIII had been teaching that the earth was the center of the universe. So when Galileo wrote his book, him and a few other Jesuit priests, and Galileo was a priest himself, and when he wrote his book and put it out, Pope Urban VIII had the man arrested. He had the Inquisition that was very popular at that time. Had that take place with Galileo,
he lost everything he had. They took everything away from him. His telescope, too, by the way. And they placed him under house arrest for the rest of his life. What would cause a goofy pope, what would make him goofy to begin with? And dogmatically say that the earth was the center of the universe. Well, of course, he was just looking through his naked eyes. And once you see with the telescope what is further out and how we're just a little bitty planet on a arm of the Milky Way, way out from the center of the universe as we know it, and we don't even know where the center of it is now, because new things have been developed. But because this man, this pope, was contradicted, he put this man in jail for trying to bring forth knowledge. I don't know why they didn't execute him. They did everybody else. They burned him alive at the stake and so forth. But what would cause this to take place? What would cause all of these killings to take place? This man, this Colorado suspect, James Holmes, a smart but quiet teachers and neighbors say, educated with honors in the neuroscience in 2010. Neuroscience has to do with the nerves. It's a scientific study of the nervous system, especially in respect to its structure, functions, and abnormalities. Well, of course, it was created perfect. And your nerves, the nerves in a man's body, if you'll start thinking a little along that field and how the brain sends signals, the brain receives signals, and saying from the nerves in your fingers or legs or toes or whatever, saying we need help, I'm in pain, something is wrong. The same thing is received in the firmament. And of course, in this series, I hope to bring out the things in heaven and the things in earth that are connected and show you how they're connected and how we are disconnecting those things. We're sending out poisons in the way of shots. Just recently, there was one about the mumps and showing the trouble that caused. Well, what caused the mumps to beginning was a poison itself that neuroscience or toxicology came up with, saying this will do this, you know, and then they start figuring out a way that they can use it without killing you. This man here, this James Holmes, there was nothing foreseeable in this person, but I've told you before, the ones we see that are deformed, and everyone is today, there is defects in every child born now. We don't see these defects in most people. It's like the squid that decides to set up family in the woman's mouth instead of waiting till it gets to the stomach. This is a horrible thing to think about. But this is what the world is doing. And they eat it and they think, well, yeah, I got rid of that okay. It didn't hurt me. It's like the man that told my brother one time, he said, well, I've been eating pork every day and I ain't been sick a day in my life. And my brother looks at him and he said, I'm wondering if you've ever been well a day in your life by looking at you. Well, the man had just got through telling him the sickness that he had, but he didn't. He said, well, pork didn't do this to me. And of course, people now are spending 50% of their paychecks that they needed to pay for their house payments and got their houses taken away from them. Well, they had to spend that part on the doctor, and that's the reason they got their house took away from them. Oh boy, it's a rat race. It's a big rat race. But what I want you to see is this boy that killed these 12 people and shot others, nothing showed before he did this. What caused him to do this? What caused Hitler to kill over 6 million Jews? What caused Cain to kill Abel? Yahweh said, and get this in your mind, and all the scoffers too, he said, if you break these laws, dying you will die. Well, toxicology now says we see death occurring in the brain from eating pork. We see it occurring in the human body from eating pork. Now, Yahweh said in 1490 BCE, when did they discover this? 1490 BCE, the telescope was invented in 1608. The microscope, I don't remember when Dr. Pfizer invented the microscope, but it was some years later when they discovered that they could see from this microscope the microorganisms. They knew nothing about it. They knew nothing about any of this, but yet the wisdom of Yahweh said, these are unclean. They will cause sickness in your body. How did Moshe know that? How did Adam know that? How did Noah know this? He was taught this by Yahweh. Now, later on, after the sickness and diseases started coming, after we started breaking down the brain and the different organisms in the body, then we started crying out to the doctors and to the witches and so forth, find us a cure for this. Well, of course, they said, here's a poison that will kill that poison, but it created another problem in the body. Well, here's another poison that will kill that one with the same thing. So we've run out now. We've come to the end of our knowledge with the microscope. We've come to the end of that knowledge. But what will we come up with next? Well, they've got some things on your menu for you. They're not sure exactly how they'll work, but they're willing to try it. If you're willing to take the test. And of course, for a price, we can do this. The AIDS. There was a new article came out on AIDS and saying they're now on the road again, that there may be, after all, there may be a cure for it. And we're not sure yet, but we think there is, and we need this grant to study this more. And then after they study it out, they'll need some guinea pigs after that. And then a few years later, they'll see what a mess that was also. Yahweh said, don't do it. He said, if you do this, dying you will die. Well, first comes the killing of the brain to where they can't think clearly. Then comes the breakdown in your body. How much illness did this boy have? Well, no one knows. They just know he was sick, mentally sick. No one in their right mind would do this. No one in their right mind would kill 6 million people for keeping the Sabbath day or for owning a menorah. You can't imagine that because you're led by Yahweh. You can't even imagine someone doing this to someone else. But they do it. And it's going to get worse, Yahweh said. In fact, we haven't seen the worst of this yet. And the shootings and everything that is going on, you don't hear them. You just hear of one rare case now and then. If you watch the early morning news, you'll see So-and-so got shot. We found this dead body, this dead woman in her apartment. Here's another one that it's too gruesome to even tell about, where the woman preacher goes to counsel this man who was a homosexual, and she goes to counsel him and winds up dead, and it was so gruesome what the man did to her that they wouldn't even reveal it on the news. Now, this is what we're seeing throughout the world, starting with eating pork. What else can we add to that? Well, we'll see in the next sermon. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next lady. I love you!
At this time, we get to hear from the great Gehaim, Atithia Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom! Please be seated. What a great Sabbath day. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor gave a sermon, and in his sermon, he made a statement that I wanted to see if everybody had been able to come to perfection in these things that he asked. And I'm going to quote his statement, but he said, "You need to find joy and you need to find love in your dealings with and interactions and in the work that you're given to do." He stated it in these words. He said, "If you are not capable of working together now with a bowl of soup and a spoon and a fork, how will you prove to Yahweh that you will be capable of getting along when you are given great power?" He said, "The world has great power to cause much destruction and even destroy the earth. But they are going to do it. They are going to destroy the earth because they cannot get along. And they proved it in the kitchen or in the field or picking vegetables or in the milk barn. In the daily work that they did, they proved that they were not able to get along." This was 2 weeks ago when Pastor gave this. And now let me ask the question. Now, don't raise your hands, but just ask this question of yourself. How many of us failed this test? How many of us within these last 2 weeks was able to find the joy and the love that Pastor was speaking of? How many of us were able to bring joy and love to our neighbors? And if you did fail, what caused you to fail? What was the thing that caused you to fail? Now, I know before you say, "Well, he did this to me," or "she did that to me," let's start by saying, what did you do? I know this is always a sore spot with people when you try to get to a resolution on a problem, because they'll say, "Well, he did this, and so I did this. And I know I was wrong. I got angry, but I did this." And as a counselor, a lot of times we say, "Okay, let's eliminate the other person from this argument. How did you handle it? What did you do?" And after you got upset with your fellow worker, did you quickly go back to them and apologize and beg them and to forgive you for the offense that you did? Did you say, "I know I was wrong"? This is one that I've heard a lot. "I know I was wrong when I got upset, and I'll go to confession." But my question is, did you make it right with the person that you had the problem with? Did you expect to just go to Yahweh and just tell the priest, and that was going to solve the problem without resolving the problem with the person that you had the run-in with? Did you go back to the brother or sister and repent before you brought your gift to Yahweh? Did you make it right? Did you reconcile yourself back with your brother or your sister? I was trying to think about how to title this sermon. And I had so many different areas that I wanted to go in this sermon that it was difficult to actually tie it down to one thing. But I think if I could tie it down to in words, it would be to make your investment in something that is lasting, not something that is failing. We make an investment in the house of Yahweh. And Yahweh encourages us to make an investment in the house of Yahweh. Now, those brothers and sisters that you work with, they were chosen by Yahweh. They were picked out before you were ever born, before they were ever born, to come here and do a work, to join with the last day's witness, to be the seed of the last day's witness, and to carry the burden. And the scripture says the world is not even worthy of them. Yahweh gives them respect. How much more so should we? They are our brothers and sisters, and they have the right and the opportunity to be a part of that administration that Yahweh is offering forever. If they have the right to have this inheritance and be a part of this administration, and we can't get along with them, where are we going to be? Now, I just wanted to bring those questions to your mind. So when you go through the week, Pastor said, we must first learn to prove we can work together. If you have to, write that on a piece of paper, put it on a 3x5 card, place it on your mirror in the morning. When you get up in the morning, you're combing your hair, you're brushing your teeth, look at that and say, we have to prove that we can work together. The world has proven they can't work together. They have designed a system that is going to fail. There is no other way around this. Our investment is to bring forth an administration to join with the one that Yahweh chose to bring forth this administration that will bring peace, will bring joy, and will bring love to all the universe. If we can't bring it on the individual cases, Yahweh's never going to give us that ability to spread it out to the universe. We've already seen the effects of that. Please be turning over to Matithiah 13. Matithiah 13. We're gonna go through these rather rapidly, but verse 44, before I get to 44, I want you to notice Yeshua's given his disciples, he's explaining to them in parables what the kingdom of Yahweh is about. And he shows them, he said in verse 31, he presented another parable to them saying, the kingdom of Yahweh is like a grain of a mustard seed, which when a man took and planted in his field, though it indeed was the least of all seeds, when it is grown, it becomes the greatest among the herbs. So the mustard seed is extremely tiny, but it grows into this huge tree. And this is what he was showing that the kingdom of Yahweh was going to do. It starts off very small with a few people here and there doing a work, but it grows. It gradually is going to grow, and it's going to encompass the universe. This last week, I was watching a news program, and they were showing some telescopes that they had. And on the telescope, there was a big fancy telescopes that can see real deep into the universe. And one of the men, the newscaster, was asking the man who worked on the telescopes, because the whole screen was full of, you know, what looked like stars, all these stars. I mean, thousands, millions of stars everywhere you could see were stars. And he said, how many stars there? He said, there's a lot of stars here. He says, well, actually, this one right here is the only actual star up there. He said, well, it's the only actual star. All the rest of them are galaxies. He says, those are all like the Milky Way. Each individual dot you see there that is actually is its own galaxy. If you think about how amazing that is. And he said, well, how much of the sky are we looking at? He says, oh, just a very small portion of the sky. He says, a very small portion. I wanted to bring you a picture of that. And you just would not believe how many lights there were. And he said each of those lights was a galaxy. That's what Yahweh's offering to us. I saw on the news they had one of the former presidents, and he made the comment. He said, you know, when he was president, he said, I was a powerful leader. He said, I was powerful and popular. And he said, but I don't want that anymore. And I thought about what it would be like to do a job interview for the kingdom of Yahweh. You know, and when you've been the president, you're about as high as you can go in this system. I mean, that's about the highest you can get, is become the president of the United States, because the United States is the chief nation of all nation. But what about, how would you explain, I've been on the administration of the kingdom of Yahweh. That's my job application. I am training for a kingdom that has universes out there. That's what Yahweh has offered to you. and he's offered it to those who are in here who you uphold. He says here in verse 44, he says, again, the kingdom of Yahweh is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man has found it, he hides it again. And then in his joy, you notice he has to have joy. You know, that's one point. I was talking to one of the great Kahans as we came up here. And I was remembering the scripture, and I thought about Pastor when he was arrested. And I remember the smile on his face. And I'm thinking, man, that would be hard to smile. And he got up here and he was rejoicing. He had the joy because he knew what he had no one could take away. He said, I have found the peace of Yahweh, and no one can take that away from me. This joy, praise Yahweh, yes, praise Yahweh. When a man found it, he hides it again, and then he goes and sells all that he has, and what's he do? He makes an investment. He buys that field. He makes an investment in that thing, that valuable treasure that he found. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of Yahweh is like a merchant looking for a fine pearl, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and he bought it. Notice the merchant, he knows the value because he's in the business to find these pearls. And he finds this one pearl of the kingdom of Yahweh and he gets rid of everything else he has. He sells everything and makes every investment into that one thing because that's how valuable it was to him. The peaceful solution teaches that the values are what we believe in or feel strongly about, and they play a key role in the development of our character. The sum total of everything you value becomes your value system. So basically, it's what you care about and consider as important. What you care about and consider as important. Yahweh has been trying, and Pastor has been trying, to get us to value the laws of Yahweh. Over the past 40 years, Pastor has been teaching us the value that we need to have in using these laws in our lives. Yahweh's laws work as a unity. Now, here's the confusion that a lot of people get into. You can't pick and choose which laws you want to keep. You can't say, okay, I'm not going to murder, but I'll steal. You can't seek the place Yahweh chooses to place his name and not follow the one sent. They work together. The law and the prophecies work together. And without them working together, if you're not using both of them together, then you have a mixture of righteousness and evil. And it's not of Yahweh. But the kingdom of Yahweh is based upon these laws. It's governed by these laws. Yahweh encourages us to make an investment into this kingdom. Matthias 6:19. Matthias 6, verse 19. It states, do not store up treasures for yourself upon earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up treasures yourself, treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, you have to put it on. You have to put the laws of Yahweh into your heart and into your mind. And you have to value the laws of Yahweh. You have to value the house of Yahweh. If you put Yahweh on the back shelf and you only pray to Yahweh on the Sabbath, you're not going to have value of Yahweh or Yahweh's way. But it is a daily and constant decision that you make through your life. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Notice in verse 24. I always like this scripture because this really just sums it all up in a very quick couple sentences. It says, no one can serve two rulers, or you cannot be slave to two owners. For either you will hate the one and you will love the other, or you will be loyal to one and you will despise the other. You cannot serve both Yahweh and riches. You can't. It's impossible. That word loyal, the word loyal in the Webster's Dictionary, it means unswerving in allegiance to one's lawful sovereign government, to be faithful to a cause, ideal, custom, or institution. Unswerving in one's lawful sovereign government. The government that we serve is the kingdom of Yahweh, which has the laws of Yahweh as its ruling code, that we follow. Now, the world offers something else. They offer the Babylonian system, this system that Israel Hawkins opposes, this system that is based upon the schools of higher learning, the institutions of higher learning, where you can become a god. You can become have your own empire. This is what is taught. You're taught allegiance from the time you're a child. You're put into a school. You're told to swear your allegiance to a country. You're told that you have to stand up for the ideals of that country. Even though you may not fully agree with some of those ideals, and this causes a lot of confusion with people because people have different values. So you have a person who values morality, and the system does not teach morality. It causes quite a problem because they can't uphold morality in a system that doesn't teach it. But our investment and what we long for is in Yahweh's kingdom and in Yahweh's house. Let me turn over to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. This is just to give you a view into the eyes of those who came before us, those holy men and women who came before us, who carried the work and the value that they had in Yahweh's kingdom and what they searched for, what they gave their lives for. They gave everything. And it'll show here that they gave up everything. They gave up their, as it were, self-respect. They gave up their, they were persecuted. They were ridiculed. They were mocked. They were tortured. They were stolen from. They were abused and oppressed in every way, shape, and form. But they had one goal. And they didn't forget that goal. And they held fast for that kingdom, that city that was not built with hands. Hebrews 11, verse 8, starting in verse 8. Now, all this before this, just to give you a quick rundown, but this is this shows that all these who came before us, such as Abel, Enoch, Noah, all these endured and even though they didn't receive the promise at that time, they longed for a future kingdom. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he would afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. When I read that, I thought about, at one time, there was a law that was brought out in the house of Yahweh. A question was brought up. And Pastor, you know, at the time, was researching the law to find out why Yahweh said not to do it. But at the moment, he didn't have all the answers. And he told us, he said, we need to keep this law because Yahweh says keep it. I can't tell you why yet, but I'm looking. I'll get the answers. He said, but we need to do it because Yahweh says to do it. And he obeyed based upon the fact that Yahweh said it. He believed it that much that he was going to accept it. Most people are like, well, I'm not doing it till I understand it. I'm not going to do that. You know, when Pastor brought out about not drinking in the house of Yahweh, and he said, I want everybody to stop drinking. You know, and I heard a lot of people say, well, where is that in Scripture? I don't see that in Scripture where it says you can't drink. You know, and this is, it was obedience first. That's what he says, obedience, and then I'll bring you understanding. But first you have to show that you are humble and of a contrite mind. You have to prove that you will accept it, and then Yahweh will teach you. You know, if you stand your ground, you say, well, I'm not going to do it till I see the proof. You're never going to see the proof. You are never, ever going to understand it. You have to do it with a contrite, humble heart. You have to bring yourself and humble yourself to this Oki so that that Oki can teach you. Praise Yahweh. Okay, verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called out, okay, even though he didn't know where he was going, by the faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is Yahweh. Through the faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Look on down to verse 13. It says, all these died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were convinced of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been thinking of the country in which they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. But now they long for a better kingdom that is a heavenly. Therefore, Yahweh is not ashamed to be called their father, for he has prepared a city for them. He's not ashamed to be called their father because they carry themselves in a moral fashion like Yahweh. You know what? How difficult it is to have a child who doesn't do what you tell him, who is a rioter, who's a troublemaker. You know, and you can see it in the parents. They're like, oh, there goes my son again. You know, you hear it in this generation. You see people actually, they actually are so distraught with their children who have grown up now and have all kinds of problems, and they disown them. That's not my son. I never taught my son that kind of thing. The kingdom of Yahweh, the word son means builder of the family name. And a son builds the family. He works with the father in unity with the father. He doesn't oppose the father in any way. Yahshua Messiah never opposed Yahweh. He never did. I know they've told you that he has. I know they've said it in the churches that Yahweh said one thing and Yahshua came along and said, well, the old man don't know what he's talking about. Just do it this way because I'm the new man. Yahshua never did that. Yisrael Hawkins will never oppose Yahshua Messiah. He will never oppose Yahweh. He will support and stand with the kingdom of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. You receive your inheritance based upon Yisrael Hawkins' inheritance. I know that's going to catch some people by surprise because I know some people think they can go directly to Yahshua Messiah and they can get into the kingdom, but you can't. There is no way you're going to get into the kingdom. There is no way you're going to receive an inheritance without Yisrael Hawkins. It's praise Yahweh. It's not up for debate. Yahweh planned this before you were ever born. Now let me make this perfectly clear, because I know this causes a lot of difficulties, because people think, well, that, you know, if something occurred to Yisrael Hawkins, you know, we'll come in, they're going to come in and they're going to take over the house of Yahweh. They're going to have a connection with Yahshua. Yahshua told who he would deal with, and that's all he's going to deal with. He said, yes, praise Yahweh. He said, I have given you an open door. He said, you I have chosen. Yahweh called him in Isaiah 44, verse 1, and Isaiah 45, verse 4. He said, Israel, my chosen. You are the seed of Yisrael Hawkins. And as the seed of Yisrael Hawkins, if you do the things that Yisrael Hawkins teaches, and you join with him, and you overcome these little things like not having love for your neighbor, not having peace within your family, letting your emotions get the best of you, lose your self-control, get angry and lash out at your worker. If you overcome these things, you are offered a portion of the inheritance that Yisrael Hawkins is offered. Yahweh chose Yisrael Hawkins, and you have the rights under him, but you are not going to ever be independent of him. You will never be independent of him. Now, I know some people have said that Yahweh, you know, I know we've been taught, you know, we've been taught you have a right to choose your leaders. Not so. Not so. Not in the kingdom of Yahweh. Remember, the laws of Yahweh govern the kingdom of Yahweh. There is no scripture, listen closely now, there is no scripture that gives you the right to choose your leader. It just isn't in there. Yahweh said, I will choose the leader, and him you must follow. He didn't ask your opinion. He didn't ask if you liked him. He didn't ask any of that. He says, this is the way it is. Accept it, you'll have a portion with him. Reject it, you have nothing. Your portion is the gods. You know what the gods offer? They don't offer very much. They offer a life of worthlessness. They offer you a life of grasping at the wind, always thinking you're going to get that pearl at the end, always thinking you're going to gain something, and you never get it. You never can quite get your hands on it. And then you think you finally get your hands on it, and someone steals it from you. It's a never-ending lifestyle of chasing rainbows, fantasy land that never goes anywhere. There is no satisfaction in the ways of the gods. Yahweh is our portion. Yahweh gives us our satisfaction. He teaches us to appreciate what we receive. Yahshua gave us a warning, and if you could just write these scriptures down because I'm running out of time, but Yahshua gave us a warning in Matthew 12, 24. And he said, he says, the kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Now remember before he said, you can't serve two rulers. You'll either hate the one or you'll be loyal to one and you'll hate the other. He said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. He said, if you're not gathering with me, then you're scattering abroad. There's no other way to do that. There's no easy way to put that. This administration is in unity with Yahweh's laws under the prophecies that Yahweh laid down of Israel Hawkins being the last day's witness. Let me put that simpler. There will never be another one coming from Yahweh. There will never be. Praise Yahweh. This is your last opportunity. I remember as a child, I used to hear the scriptures being read, and I used to hear about Samuel and David and all these righteous men, and I used to think, man, wouldn't it be cool to have met one of them? Wouldn't it be awesome to have known one of these mighty men who did these great works for Yahweh? And I came to the house of Yahweh, and I learned the laws of Yahweh, and one day it was like, boom, you actually met one. You've actually sat at a table with him and had dinner with him. You have actually met one of those holy men that you read about. Take hold of the value of what is presented to you. Yahshua said, blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear, because it's not given to the others. It's offered to you. Seek this kingdom. Disregard anything that gets in your way. Only have your goal focused on that purpose. You would like to see, it's not about money. It's not about even, you know, I know as a Christian we learned it was about gold and, you know, all kinds of, you know, streets of gold and all things like that. And, you know, you're always looking for this diamond or something. But there's no satisfaction in that. The satisfaction comes from keeping Yahweh's laws, walking in Yahweh's way. Real quickly, turn over to Matthew 10, verse 37. And I'm going to have to close up here, but I want to keep this in your memory when you leave here. Take hold of what Yahweh is offering to you. Take hold of it, and it's more valuable than anything that's offered to you. He said, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his yoke and follows after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life in this lifetime, he who protects his life, a son does not run when the trouble comes down to his family. He stands with the strong man. He supports the strong man. He doesn't run when trouble comes down. He doesn't protect his life. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and in receiving me receives him who sent me. Yahshua Messiah has one representative in these last days, and he says if you receive him, the representative, then you're receiving Yahweh. He who receives a prophet because of the authority of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man because of the character of the righteous man will receive the righteous man's reward. We are the seed of Israel HaKahan. Praise Yahweh. And as the song said, the witness for our Father, great Yahweh. He receives that authority. He receives everything that comes with that. And if you join with him and you carry that load, you also will receive that inheritance. It's well worth it. It's well worth it. Don't let anything stand in your way, because the creation is truly waiting for the revealing of the sons of Yahweh and those who will join, because the earth is hurting at this time. It's hurting and it's begging and it's longing and it's crying and mourning because it's suffering. Every single day there is suffering going on. And the only thing that is going to turn it around is if this Babylonian system is eliminated and the kingdom of Yahweh is brought into being. And there's only one who has the right to do that. There's only one who carries the kingdom of Yahweh and has the open door for you, and that's Israel Hawkins. So at this time, if you'll all please stand, may Yahweh bless your understanding. We'll turn it over to the great Gahan Zephaniah Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh!
Shalom, everyone. And the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We're going to cover this morning on the news, basically the entire news yesterday on CBS News. I don't think they had any of the stories. Was about the shooting in Aurora, Colorado, which demonstrates the insanity or the confusion of the mind that the scripture talks about. But keep a couple things in mind when you see this. Is as bad as it was for those who were being shot, imagine being the one who did the shooting. Because this man, who was a young man, 24 years old, supposedly really smart, and he was going to become a neuroscientist, I doubt when he was growing up, he said to himself, you know, when I grow up, I want to be a mass murderer and spend the rest of my life in prison and possibly go to the electric chair. But, you know, so at some point, something occurred to his mind, and it snapped, and he became like this. And what caused that was sin of some sort. What the sin was, either his or someone else's. But one of the things that I read that's not covered in this story was he was a marijuana smoker. And remember, marijuana, which is the same as hashish, is where the word assassin comes from. And if you see this in these mass murderers, then they're not covering this a lot in the news, but a lot of them smoke pot. And a lot of people that come against the house of Yahweh are pot smokers. And the other thing you're going to notice is there's a couple that's being interviewed during this story. And it's ironic, and this shows the confusion of the mind and the people. He says, you know, we were in there and this woman was being shot and blood everywhere and bullets, and I never ever want to see that ever again. And he went into this movie to see that very thing. And, you know, you got to wonder, well, why would you want to go in and see, what's wrong with the human mind that would actually desire to see this type of thing for entertainment? But then when they actually see it, they dislike it. And he'll probably go to see the movie anyway. And then, let me see, there was a couple other points, but let's play the movie. It's basically the whole news, but kind of shortened down. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins!
And I'll be home in the 100 air conditioner. Come on now, come on. You might be seated. It don't get too hot for the house of Yahweh, right? May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I brought my lunch today. They said I could have all afternoon. So hope you brought yours. They're supposed to have us some fried grasshoppers here today, but they didn't show up with them. So maybe next week. The reason I wanted that shown, I hate to show something like that, but I said we've got to get this to the people. Everyone's got to see this. That Jessica Redfield, I don't know if you caught it or not, but she was almost killed before she moved to this other place, and she moved there to find a place of safety where it's a little more civilized, and there is where she met her death. I remembered that scripture where it said, you know, in Isaiah, he says, if you run to escape, you know, you'll fall in the pit, and he who fears the pit will fall into something else. There's just no escape. There's no place to go that is safe. This lunch that I brought, I mentioned here a while back, my mother's, the way she made bread, she didn't go and buy yeast at the store. It's called sourdough bread. Let me see, maybe I can put it under that. Look how beautiful that is. Isn't that beautiful? Well, I mentioned it, and of course, the cooks jumped on it, and they're going to be letting you sample this pretty soon. Here's the take-home, I can't get that to run back, but anyway, I'll hold it up for you this way so you can see it. Sourdough, you can start it winter or summer. It works great. It creates your own, it creates its own yeast and makes your bread rise in just a few minutes and tastes wonderful. I've got my mouth watering here now. Here, you men take that and enjoy it. Don't chomp too loud now. Got a show going on up here. What I'm wanting everyone to see, what we've got to understand, is out of this mess that you see in the world, and you see it everywhere right now, but thousands of years ago, this was going on in the days of Noah. Men were violent, and every thought and intent of their heart was wickedness, and it wasn't like that they were created that way or born that way, but they got caught up in the wickedness as the world has done today. Now, we could solve their problems. We could solve all the world's problems today. But they won't accept it. In fact, the things I'm going to show today, the world ridicules, and they will laugh at. And of course, they have done this before. When we put out the articles on the real cause of global warming, then there were certain ridicules come forth from that. Other scientists, of course, took that ball and ran with it, and they're actually proving that what we said in that book was true. But the world right now is in pain, and there's pain in every walk of life now. It's in our bodies, it's in the earth, it's in the air that we're breathing and the water we drink. I just read an article a few minutes ago about a 7-year-old boy that went to visit, he was lived in Texas, went to visit a lake in California, a rather popular lake. He got a rash while he was there. They don't know what it was at all, but he is dead in just a few days. 7 years old and a seemingly healthy boy, and a seemingly very unhealthy lake, but he didn't even get in the water either, they said. But he died in just a few days. But that's the mess that we're living in today. And out of this whole mess, Yahweh is producing a work that will actually bring forth the knowledge that man rejected in the first place that got him into this mess right now, of people violence in every walk of life, sickness and disease everywhere you look, and it's in the whole world. But yet Yahweh is drawing out a people, bringing up a people. That's the two words, the two phrases that the prophets use, bringing up a people, drawing out a people, that will actually solve these problems. And while they're working together, doing the work, reaching the world, and while they're actually working together, they're actually coming out of the world themselves. So, and that's you. And we know that we haven't overcome sin yet completely. We know we haven't become perfect yet, but we're doing this work of Yahweh, and we're fighting to become perfect out of a world that's trying to kill itself. Everyone in the world hates everyone else. His hand is turned against his brother, as the prophet said. How would a prophet thousands of years ago know that in this time period, everyone would be hating everyone else? And that's what you see in the world. How would they know that? How would they know that the world is going to be filled with wars and fighting, and then famine and disease that is caused, and they're finally admitting now that it is caused by man. That's the wonderful part of it. What I want to show is, of course, is the great wisdom that the world rejected, the great wisdom of Yahweh, that was actually given in the beginning, taught to Adam, and of course taught to the prophets. And if you think about these prophets, I know people scoff at the Bible, but if you think about these prophets, they were somewhere around 40 to 50 of them. Some of them we don't know their names, but we have their writings. They spoke over a time span of about 1,500 years. These 40 to 50 prophets spoke over a time span of about 1,500 years. They didn't know each other. They had no knowledge of one another's works. That is, most of them had no knowledge of the other prophets' works. And yet they spoke the same things. They brought forth the same plan. They never got off. They never altered, not one from another. Now, to you scoffers, try to figure that one out scientifically. It's a wonderful thing what you're looking at in the book of Yahweh. And it's like the human mind or the firmament. It's just unimaginable. But surely anyone could see this and read the history of it and know that a very wise being, and to me, just thinking about what this being has done in creating the human body alone, or a grain of wheat, it blows my mind. I can see how he's come to this and how he set his determination to stay with this plan and not alter from it. And, of course, that's what he tells us to do. It makes it possible. It also says it's possible. Those same words says it's possible for you to set your mind and to overcome anything or everything that you want to. To set your work on anything you want it set on, and do it. And of course, that's what we have done here in the house of Yahweh. We've set our minds, our hands to the plow, and we're not looking back. We're bringing forth this work that's actually reaching the whole world. Praise Yahweh. Just little crew. As Yahweh calls us, Yahshua called us a little flock. And we're reaching the whole world at this time in a world that's so screwed up that you can't even go to a movie. I don't think you should want to, but I was also handed an article that said the whooping cough, which you don't want to get, and you don't want your children to get it, but I can tell you for sure it's in Texas. And a great way to get it is to go to Six Flags or a lake or whatever on a vacation and lay around in the sand with all these filthy people. If you go to Walmart or any other store in town and you hear somebody coughing, don't go back there and investigate. Get out of there. Get out of there. Go to another store. Get you some oils and spray on your face and your nose and your hands and try to get rid of what you've already got on you. But for heaven's sakes, don't bring it back here. And that's a great way to bring it here. Well, now they stumble through life. They've got themselves, the whole world has got itself messed up because they have rejected the laws that would have kept them from coming this way. Now, Yahweh said, as a result of this, I'm going to cut you off from my face, it will not be seen upon you anymore. But he prophesied seven works that he would have. Well, the world is going in the way that Yahweh predicted that it would. You know, all 40 of the prophets we know spoke of Babylon and the confounding of the languages, every one of them. I doubt if they even knew what Babylon was, some of them, because they lived too long away from it. It was destroyed, but yet they continued to write about it and the evil that it brought to the earth. Figure that one out without a creator. And that's what you want. That science wants you to do. They want you to figure it out without a creator because they don't believe. The Christians don't believe either. In fact, I don't know of any religions on earth today that do believe. Someone said a lot of the churches now who were keeping Sunday, pretending to keep Sunday holy, Sunday the first day of the week instead of Sabbath, the seventh day commandment, that they had changed this now and they're starting to keep Wednesday instead of Sunday. And they were asked, well, why are you going to keep Wednesday? And they said, well, everybody wants to get out and run around on Sunday and play around, I guess, at the lake getting diseases. I keep wondering why the weatherman keeps encouraging people to go to the lake. I think I'm going to stay away from there from now on. But they're kind of stumbling around, you know, and the scripture says they're ever searching but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. That is the truth that they rejected. Now, we're beginning to see all this pain in the world, and the world is beginning to see it. And they're saying, we did this. We made this. We caused this now. The global warming, I don't know how hot it'll have to get to be convincing, but we do know that things are going to melt with fervent heat. So we haven't seen the worst of it yet, and we may see it here very soon. The intelligence now is saying we're getting ready for war in August, so maybe it will start. It looks like it could start today pretty easily. Two things I want you to keep in mind as we continue this story on Sandusky. Now, you know, you're going to see some things that you wonder how this can connect with him or this woman called, named Redfield, I believe it is, Jessica Redfield, or Holmes, the man that they're saying that shot 70 people. You know, all of this is tied together. The cause is the same. And I can prove it. I can prove it to you. You're going to have to pay attention, but you're going to have to retain this week after week in order to get this whole bundle that Yahweh wants you to see in your mind. But it did start with the rejecting of the law by Adam and Eve, leading to, deception, and then willful sin by Adam. And, of course, then after Noah, with one family saved out of the whole mess, one family saved, and then it starts again. They didn't learn their lesson, but this time they will learn their lesson. But keep in mind now, his attorney said that this is a matter of getting money. And it may be. They could have framed this man. In fact, it could have started with people who wanted a scapegoat and to try to make out like that Sandusky was the only evil man in the whole crew, and they got rid of him, which, of course, brings back their integrity to the school. They got rid of that bad guy, and all the rest of them are wearing white hats. The cities now and the states are needing money. You can see this on the news daily. because of the economy, the fall in the economy, and who can buy our goods anymore, who will buy all of our knickknacks and stupidities that we put on the market. Who will buy these anymore? Well, of course, they have stopped buying. They've lost jobs. This man Holmes, now, he was a well-educated man, educated in all the best schools, they said. He was the top of the tops. But the only way that man could get a job now with the field of training that he had was maybe a job at McDonald's or something like that. Well, the cities are needing money. The Catholic Church has money, a lot of it, and everyone knows this. The states and cities now are no longer loyal. Now, why did they lose this loyalty? The Catholic Church built America. And they built it, of course, for the Catholic Church, for their leadership. But now their subjects are turning against them. Now, there's a reason, and it's a physical reason, for the lack of patriotism. And, of course, these physical reasons, the Catholic Church itself, created this, and now the genie that's been let out of the bottle is turned against them. And of course, they're no longer loyal to the Catholic Church or the Vatican at this time. Why? I have an article here, and I know some people are going to laugh, but I'm asking you to bear with me, listen to this through, get the book, get the free magazine. I think we have a free magazine that has the article in it, The Real Cause of Global Warming. I didn't put this article in there, but if I'd have had it at the time, I would have. It was written interviewing a toxicologist, and of course, these people, like Holmes, they have this is a specialty that they can go into, and there are several fields that they can go into in these studies because it deals with different parts of the body, some of it deals with land, some of it with trees, where they try to find what poison is killing the trees. I don't know if I brought this out, but the fruit trees, about 70% of them died this year all over the United States. And they're telling us in the top colleges, you know, what they think this is, but they don't have any cure for it. And of course, what are the people doing that has the commercial orchards? Well, they're just digging them up and planting more behind them. Which, you know, it's like a dog chasing its tail. I guess you can get a little bit out of it, but the trees keep getting worse. The poisons keep increasing. Well, this study is supposed to find the poisons that man has created, because man has done this. We know that man has done this. They've created these poisons. I'll go into it later in detail, but right now I'll tell you they use poison to fight poison. Well, what is their poison? It's bacteria that they find. Certain bacteria kills other bacteria. So they use this bacteria to try to kill what is bothering the plants. Well, of course, what is really bothering the plants is because they rejected Yahweh's law. They're not guarding the perfect way. The perfect way. He actually made mankind perfect. He did. Mankind was made perfect. But mankind, started doing things to bring imperfection to his mind, And I want you to start thinking of your mind more fully, because your mind actually, it's housed up here in the bone system of your head, but it actually controls your body, makes your send signals to the nerves in your body. I believe that Holmes was a neuroscientist. He took a special field of training, a nerve scientist. Well, your body your brain, it sends signals to the nerves. The nerves send signals back to the brain. If you burn your finger, it'll send you a fast signal that it's hurting. Sends your brain that. And of course, because of the pain. Now, if you could imagine the universe right now as having a central governing body that is hard at work, imagine first the firmament. The firmament is the brain of the earth. And, of course, the planets that we see around it, the firmament uses those planets. And it says we need this much sunshine. We need this much rain up on the earth for man, because it was made for man. So like the brain in your head governing your body, and your body sending the signal to the brain saying, your stomach, for instance, that's one you can always deal with. I'm always hungry, right? you can change that with your brain, of course, if you want to, or you can give in to appetite if you want to. But the stomach will send the signal to the brain saying, I'm hungry. You can say back to the stomach, forget it, I'm not going to feed you right now. Go get you a drink of water like you told your child to do. And your stomach will forget it. It'll send a signal later, of course, maybe in a bigger way, and then it'll get aggravated and start crying and yelling and frustration, you know, till the brain starts quitting its work and going back to feeding the stomach. Well, of course, we see the same thing in the firmament that we're dealing with. And if you think of the brain of the body and compare the firmament the same way, you will begin to understand what we have done to our earth, to the atmosphere of the firmament, to the waters that we have housed up to use for supplying the cities. And, of course, it's all governed. Every bit of this is governed by the firmament. Now, if we put things in our body that causes our brain, that sends bacteria or microorganisms of any kind that the brain can't use, then the brain then can't function properly to supply the body with all the bodily needs. This is what's taken place in the fruit trees that we have. We're asking the scientists today, supply us with a poison to get rid of this blight, to get rid of this parasite that's in our trees to keep it from killing our trees. We're doing the same thing with our bodies. We're saying to the toxicologist, find us, and that field is growing, by the way. There's big money in it, and they're finding and producing poisons. But with each poison, you've got to have another poison to fight that poison. This is man's way. The way Yahweh intended it was to keep it perfect as he made it perfect. And he says, he gives you foods to eat, foods that you must keep healthy to supply your body with. This toxicologist, the news article says, someone who eats pork, this toxicologist is saying this, someone who eats pork can work physically but cannot reason properly, cannot think clearly. The mind is filled with confusion. His thinking is impaired because his stomach invests a great effort in breaking up such complex molecules, most of which cannot be used by the human body. It was discovered that pork eating weakens the person's ability to think. Now, this is a toxicologist that's written this. It was discovered that pork eating weakens the person's body to think. It abolishes his zeal and his loyalty. It actually abolishes loyalty. Well, we just reading in this article and seeing what is taking place here with the people being willing who were... You take Christianity. Christianity is a daughter of the Catholic Church. Now, the Scripture shows this. In Revelations, it shows this. The great whore and all of her daughters that follow her. Well, where did we follow her? Well, one thing is eating pork. Following after the priest in the gardens who celebrate memorials to the dead popes, dead rabbis, dead lords, eating swine's flesh. That's Isaiah 65:17 or 66:17. It's in Isaiah 65 and Isaiah 66. Well, it weakens the body, but it also abolishes loyalty or patriotism. Interviewer, is that really a scientific fact, or are these scientific facts? The toxicologist says it's true. Interviewer, a pork eater has no patriotism? Question. The toxicologist says this has been scientifically established. It lowers the body's level of serotonin, which generates activity and increases one's pride, one's desire to be righteous and be the best. Now, it weakens all of that in a person, they say. They've proven this scientifically, and even enhances one's happiness or joy. Joy of living day to day. When this hormone is secreted in the body, the person becomes joyous, emotionally uplifted. But pork induces the level reduces the level of serotonin. A pork eater can put his muscles to work, but not his brain. Now, this is coming from the science today. I've got an article here, another one, that I want to read you on this, but remember now what they're showing about pork. Now, the FDA, this is more of the science today, the FDA warns of bacteria in shellfish. The world is full of bacteria. We use bacteria to create poisons. We need healthy bacteria in our bodies. The harmful bacteria will actually kill out the healthy bacteria. And some of the penicillin And medication such as penicillin will kill out the healthy bacteria in your body. And then they tell you, you know, if you don't get this back, if you start having diarrhea and you don't get this back in your body quickly, that can kill you. Well, the FDA now is warning of the bacteria in shellfish. Washington, the Food and Drug Administration, is warning people not to eat raw or partially cooked shellfish because they have been linked to cases of foodborne illness in several states, contaminated with bacteria that cause diarrhea, stomach cramps, nausea, vomiting, and other symptoms. The FDA says that shellfish has been linked to confirmed and possible causes of Vibro illnesses. The bacteria can cause illnesses within a few hours or as late as 5 days after being consumed. Well, of course, they're wrong about only lasting 5 days, as we can see from these other articles and also in the Holy Scriptures, because they don't disappear out of the body. They build a homestead in the body of the person, and later on, they're being passed on to our children who come down with birth defects, who are born with birth defects, which weakens the body, so the body starts dying sooner. It's unable to fight, to battle the poisons. Its defense system is unable to battle the poison successfully. Listen closely to this one. Cooked squid. I would never think of ever putting something like that in my mouth, but cooked squid inseminates now woman's mouth. Yes, true. Just put out June 15th. After experiencing severe pain in her oral cavity, when she bit into her seafood, the woman spit out her meal, but continued to feel lingering, prickling sensation. The sperm of this squid were alive and penetrated the woman's mouth. The sacs, which contained devices, I'll skip the other word, devices forcefully release sperm into the semen that attaches the sperm to a wall. Now, this is the knowledge that, of course, has been pushed aside. Scientific knowledge. This is also what's causing their whooping cough, and they're wanting something, of course, to cure this whooping cough. They're wanting a shot. They're investigating they have investigated the SERMs they had before, and they said they'd found that they're not successful. They were not as successful with those SERMs as they thought they were. Well, in Leviticus now this is their scientific knowledge today. Leviticus, the 11th chapter, Leviticus 11. Eating squid or any unclean, what the scriptures show is unclean. Now, this is the scientific knowledge of Yahweh that they pushed aside for creating and selling drugs to you today. But in Leviticus 11 and verse 9, he says, these you may eat of all that are in the waters, whatever has both fins and scales in the waters, whether in the seas or in the rivers, that you may eat. But everything in the sea or in the rivers that does not have both fins and scales, whether among all the fish that school or among all the other living creatures in the water, they are an abomination. This Hebrew word for abomination here means they will cause sickness, as the squid, and you can see how it breeds inside the body. It doesn't disappear. It finds it a place to where it can stay. This one started breeding instantly because the sperm was right in the squid when the squid was eaten. So instantly it took place in the woman's mouth. And they will be an abomination, that is sickness, to you. They will cause you to get sick, the Hebrew word shows. You must not eat their flesh, but you shall regard their carcass as an abomination, as sickness. Regard it as sickness or disease. Whatever is in the water, not having both fins and scales, is to be abominable. Now this word, abominable, it can be passed on to your offspring, or like whooping cough, get near it and it will latch on to you. You can pass it on to others. So eating unclean shellfish or pork, as we will see, pork is abominable to you. These you shall regard as abominable, that is, causing sickness and disease that can be passed on to other people. Among the birds, they shall not be eaten, for they are an abomination. The eagle, the vulture, the buzzard. Look back up to verse 7 now, because we're dealing with a toxicologist that says scientifically now they can prove that pork, eating pork, ingesting certain of the molecules that are in pork into the body actually goes into the brain. Goes into the brain. And this, a person can work physically, but their brain starts slowing down. What could possibly cause? This is the question that everyone is in awe. What could possibly cause this young man to go into a movie theater and start killing 70, 80, 100 people, whatever he could kill? I'll ask you one better than that. What caused a brother, to kill a righteous brother? What would cause that? What caused this sick mind that Hitler had? Hitler, a Hebrew, his mother was Hebrew, his father was Hebrew. What on earth could cause that man to want to kill Hebrews who kept holy the Sabbath or would not eat pork? What could cause that? And the pig, although it has split hooves, completely divided, yet it does not chew the cud. It is unclean to you. Their meat shall you not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch. They are unclean unto you. You know, we don't think that we're eating pork today. And a lot of people who think they're eating clean food out of the stores, they don't know that that pork is the beef and even clean fish that is specified clean in the scriptures, it's got pork sitting in the same cage with it. You know, it's like having the bacteria in your brain inside your skull. It doesn't stay in one place. It spreads. This Hans Lippershey. He's the one that invented the telescope in 1608. He did a great thing here because they used this telescope that Galileo did for mapping out the heavens for the classes today. Now, Galileo, I don't know if you're up on him, but through that telescope, he said, hey, we're not the center of the universe. Well, Pope Urban, Pope Urban VIII had been teaching that that the earth was the center of the universe. So when Galileo wrote his book, him and a few other Jesuit priests, and Galileo was a priest himself, and when he wrote his book and put it out, Pope Urban VIII had the man arrested. He had the Inquisition that was very popular at that time. Had that take place with Galileo. He lost everything he had. They took everything away from him. His telescope too, by the way. And they placed him under house arrest for the rest of his life. What would cause a goofy pope, what would make him goofy to begin with, and dogmatically say that the earth was the center of the universe? Well, of course, he was just looking through his naked eyes, and once you see with the telescope what is further out and how we're just a little bitty planet on a arm of the Milky Way, way out from the center of the universe as we know it, and we don't even know where the center of it is now because new things have been developed. But because this man, this pope, was contradicted, he put this man in jail for trying to bring forth knowledge. I don't know why they didn't execute him. They did everybody else. They burned him alive at the stake and so forth. But what would cause this to take place? What would cause all of these killings to take place? This man, this Colorado suspect, James Holmes, smart but quiet, teachers and neighbors say, educated with honors in the neuroscience in 2010. Neuroscience has to do with the nerves. It's a scientific study of the nervous system, especially in respect to its structure, functions, and abnormalities. Well, of course, it was created perfect. And your nerves, the nerves in a man's body, if you'll start thinking a little along that field and how the brain sends signals, the brain receives signals, and saying from the nerves in your fingers or legs or toes or whatever, saying we need help, I'm in pain, something is wrong. The same thing is received in the firmament. And of course, in this series, I hope to bring out the things in heaven and the things in earth that are connected and show you how they're connected and how we are disconnecting those things. We're sending out poisons in the way of shots. Just recently, there was one about the mumps and showing the trouble that caused. Well, what caused the mumps to beginning was a poison itself that neuroscience or toxicology came up with, saying this will do this, you know, and then they start figuring out a way that they can use it without killing you. This man here, this James Holmes, there was nothing foreseeable in this person, but I've told you before, the ones we see that are deformed, and everyone is today, There is defects in every child born now. We don't see these defects in most people. It's like the squid that decides to set up family in the woman's mouth instead of waiting till it gets to the stomach. This is a horrible thing to think about. But this is what the world is doing. And they eat it and they think, well, yeah, I got rid of that okay. It didn't hurt me. It's like the man that told my brother one time, he said, well, I've been eating pork every day and I ain't been sick a day in my life. And my brother looks at him and he said, I'm wondering if you've ever been well a day in your life by looking at you. Well, the man had just got through telling him the sickness that he had, but he didn't. He said, well, pork didn't do this to me. And of course, people now are spending 50% of their paychecks that they needed to pay for their house payments and got their houses taken away from them. Well, they had to spend that part on the doctor, and that's the reason they got their house taken away from them. Oh, boy, it's a rat race. It's a big rat race. But what I want you to see is this boy that killed these 12 people and shot others, nothing showed before he did this. What caused him to do this? What caused Hitler to kill over 6 million Jews? What caused Cain to kill Abel? Yahweh said, and get this in your mind, and all the scoffers too, he said, if you break these laws, dying you will die. Well, toxicology now says we see death occurring in the brain from eating pork. We see it occurring in the human body from eating pork. Now, Yahweh said in 1490 BCE, when did they discover this? 1490 BCE. The telescope was invented in 1608. The microscope, I don't remember when Dr. Pfizer invented the microscope, but it was some years later when they discovered that they could see from this microscope the microorganisms. They knew nothing about it. They knew nothing about any of this, but yet the wisdom of Yahweh said, these are unclean. They will cause sickness in your body. How did Moshe know that? How did Adam know that? How did Noah know this? He was taught this by Yahweh. Now, later on, after the sickness and diseases started coming, after we started breaking down the brain and the different organisms in the body, then we started crying out to the doctors and to the witches and so forth, find us a cure for this. Well, of course, they said, here's a poison that will kill that poison, but it created another problem in the body. Well, here's another poison that will kill that one with the same thing. So we have run out now. We've come to the end of our knowledge with the microscope. We've come to the end of that knowledge. But what will we come up with next? Well, they've got some things on your menu for you. They're not sure exactly how they'll work, but they're willing to try it. If you're willing to take the test. And of course, for a price, we can do this. The AIDS. There was a new article came out on AIDS and saying they're now on the road again, that there may be, after all, there may be a cure for it. And we're not sure yet, but we think there is, and we need this grant to study this more. And then after they study it out, they'll need some guinea pigs after that. And then a few years later, they'll see what a mess that was also. Yahweh said, don't do it. He said, if you do this, dying you will die. Well, first comes the killing of the brain, to where they can't think clearly. Then comes the breakdown in your body. How much illness did this boy have? Well, no one knows. They just know he was sick, mentally sick. No one in their right mind would do this. No one in their right mind would kill 6 million people for keeping the Sabbath day or for owning a menorah. You can't imagine that because you're led by Yahweh. You can't even imagine someone doing this to someone else. But they do it. And it's going to get worse, Yahweh said. In fact, we haven't seen the worst of this yet. And the shootings and everything that is going on, you don't hear them. You just hear of one rare case now and then. If you watch the early morning news, you'll see so-and-so got shot. We found this dead body, this dead woman in her apartment. Here's another that it's too gruesome to even tell about, where the woman preacher goes to counsel this man who was a homosexual. And she goes to counsel him and winds up dead, and it was so gruesome what the man did to her that they wouldn't even reveal it on the news. Now, this is what we're seeing throughout the world, starting with eating pork. What else can we add to that? Well, we'll see in the next sermon. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next lady.
I love you!